On today's episode of the podcast, I share something exciting and also kind of sad, but still really beautiful that happened to me this week. I got my period for the first time postpartum. So today is a big episode speaking about our cycles. I talk about how and why I choose to free bleed as much as possible. I share a bit about this transitional time, how it feels like the end of a cycle, but the beginning of a new one. And I dive pretty deep into the conversations around women's health, how we can take really good care of ourselves as we bleed and stay present with our bodies, and just overall have that time of the month feel more sacred. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. Let's jump in. It's that time of the week again. Welcome to a brand new episode of From the Heart with Rachel Raithan. I am sitting here in my little podcast chair feeling so much. Really have that feeling like my heart is just about to burst today. So just to paint you a little word picture here, it's gorgeous day outside. We've had a few just consecutive gorgeous days where the sun is out and the sky is blue, and yesterday really felt like the first day of spring because it was just warm and really sunny, and it was so warm we could even hang out on the porch, which we have never done with Bear. It was his first time crawling around on the porch, and I made myself a matcha latte and just sat there enjoying the sunshine and listening to all the birds and playing with him. You know, of course, wearing a thick sweater and all of that. It's not that warm, but it just really felt like, oh, like a brand, like we're stepping into spring, which we do, but it's not a linear walk, right? It's like a step forward, and then it feels like we take a couple steps back, and then we step forward, and especially spring, or waiting for spring in Sweden, is a mind game, because all of a sudden, you know, it's like really beautiful and warm and it feels like spring and wow, flowers are budding. And then we get a snowstorm and that continues on sometimes all the way through May, like into May. Usually not, but usually there is some snow in April. Last year, there was definitely lots of snow in April. So I'm not calling spring or anything, but yesterday was just a beautiful spring feeling day. And then today it's really freezing cold. Everything is covered with a layer of frost again, but it's still this beautiful sunny day. And just how the sunshine is filtering in through the windows today, it's just magically beautiful. I have a giant glass of electrolytes by my side. I just took my magnesium today. I have a candle lit. I just lit some Palo Santo. Spent a little time cleaning up the space before I sat down, which I always do just to get that sense of clarity. And I'm sitting here in this comfy little armchair that I record from, free bleeding. And that makes me want to cry. I got my period yesterday for the first time since before pregnancy. And it feels like such a momentous thing. It feels so big. I was not prepared. And of course, you know, getting your period after you've been pregnant and in the postpartum time, it's so different. It's completely unique for all of us for a variety of reasons. Of course, how much we are nursing and breastfeeding has a huge impact, but doesn't mean that we don't get our periods back, even if we're completely full on-demand nursing. Some women don't get their moons for years if you continue to breastfeed for as long as they are nursing. And some women get their moon immediately after pregnancy. You know, there's such a spectrum here and no such thing as bad or, you know, everything is a variation of normal. And I just wasn't prepared. I don't know. I've been thinking about it just a tiny little bit. Someone asked me if I got my moon again, and I just, oh no, I haven't even really thought of that. And I kind of thought for as long as I'll be nursing there, I just probably won't get it. With Leia, I think I got my period fairly quickly. I actually can't remember. Dennis is the one who had to remind me. I think maybe when she was 6 months or so, but that I'm super convinced is because I was nursing so little and spending a lot of time away from her. It doesn't have to be that. It can be a variety of reasons. I know for sure I had a very different level of health, and just my hormonal health was very, very different then. That it is now, lots of things, just my whole body, my whole system was very different. And I remember just when it happened, it wasn't even a thing. I can't even remember the moment I got my period back after having been pregnant with Leia. I don't even remember it just registering as a moment, you know, it's just, oh, okay, now we're back to that. All right, you know. And this time for some reason, it feels so, I was so sad yesterday. And I also feel like I was talking to my best friend. So one of my best friends doesn't have kids, and it's one of those beautiful, magical things very, very often that she doesn't want kids. And it means she's so present with her nieces and nephews and her best friend's kids. She's the godmother of like 6 children. Like, she's like everybody's favorite human being. And she often says, like, I love that I don't want to have children because it means I can be this very grounded presence for all of the children in my life who are not mine. And when we have conversations like that, really is the only time I feel there's any difference between her and I, just in the fact that she's not a mom. We have everything in common. I feel like she understands absolutely everything I talk about when it comes to motherhood. Like, she's such a good presence and listener. But yesterday when I said, I got my period back, because she's my person everything that happens in a day, she's the one I tell. You know, hopefully you have that person too. Whatever's going on. Like, I watch another 15 minutes of Love is Blind. Just something that I absolutely do. Like, she's the person I text, you know? Or I have my first matcha of the season outside. She's the person I text. I got my moon. She's the person I text. And I was so sad about it. And I was so heartbroken about it. But I just wrote, oh, I got my period back. And she goes, yay! Oh my God, that's so great, you know? Because from her perspective, it's like, oh, well, that means your chemistry's working and your body's working. And you're back to like your own just regular, natural rhythm, you know? So for her, it was just this positive thing, because having your period as a woman is a positive thing. We're not, you know, most of us are not raised that way, but we all hopefully grow older and realize that it absolutely is this magical blessing that we can feel lots of different things about. And of course, there's so much to talk about just in this area. And that was kind of one of the first moments I've had with my best friend where I was like, oh, but you're not getting it. And then she immediately said, oh, wait, I think this is something that I just don't understand. Like, I'm not going to be able to fully understand what this feels like for you. Like, she can really understand the love I have for my children. She could so understand my postpartum time. She truly was the one who would like She changed my pads for me when I was postpartum, bleeding postpartum. Like, we have that level of just intimacy and understanding in our friendship. And then this was like the one single moment where, no, you know what? I'm not going to get this. Please explain, like, share. How does it feel? What's going on? And it was just this very contrasting feeling that I had a really hard time explaining, because yes, it's so true. Hey, in a way, me getting my period again, hey, yeah, it means my body's totally working. It means, in a way, my body has reclaimed itself as its own, right? It's like, this is something that is really mine. I'm not sharing that chemistry, that experience with anyone else. It's like, my body is working for me again. And it's happening at a window of time where it's totally normal and natural. Bear is nursing a lot less. Like, he is such a foodie. I share on Instagram stories, like, little snippets of him eating every day, because it's so joyful watching him eat. He wants food. He's a foodie. He loves all kinds of food. He wants to eat what we eat. Like, he's very, very clear on just food is life, you know? So he's eating 4 meals a day, basically. Yeah, he's eating. Like, every time we sit down to eat, even if it's a snack, like, he eats something because he wants to, and he fills up. I still offer him the breast before meals, and he still nurses all night. So I definitely nurse him to sleep at least once a day. He, like, nurses to sleep, basically. His last nap of the day only kind of happens that way right now. But when he nurses in the day, it's very short. It's not those, like, big 15-minute feeds where he's just, oh, like, this is his, like, big feeding moment. No, he gets that through just regular food now. It's more, yeah, shorter windows. He's very distracted. He wants to run away. He is basically seconds from walking. Like, he's doing that thing now where he wants to walk holding only one hand. And if you give him something to hold, he'll just stand there, kind of forgetting that he doesn't understand that he knows how to walk, you know? So he's like, he'll hold on to a wall and look at us and, like, take a step, but he's scared to let go of the wall. Like, he's going to walk any moment. And everything is exciting. Any voice, any noise, anything he hears, and he just, like, leaves the breast. So he's not nursing as much in the day. And of course, one of the natural effects of nursing less and less and less is that your body starts to shift in hormone production and the chemistry of what's unfolding in the body. We produce less prolactin. Lots of things happen. And then, yeah, you get your period back. And yes, this can happen much earlier. This can happen even if you're nursing on demand all day. It doesn't mean something is wrong with you. As I said in the beginning, everything is a variation of normal. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. But so that is kind of our day today. But even, yeah, still, I was just not thinking I would get my period back. And so what happened yesterday is I told Dennis this story. He was like, I don't think that's it. His intuition told him something else, but I feel like this just related. So I was invited a couple of weeks ago. I was invited to a gala, like a fancy evening. One of the big, or I think the biggest, like parenting magazine, like a mama magazine here in Sweden. Every year they have a gala where they crown the mom of the year, and it's for charity. And it's this, I've never been, but my other best friend, Olivia, who is a mom in the Swedish like mom influencer world, she goes every year. And last year I was invited, now that I live in Sweden. And I think I was very pregnant, and it's just like, no, going to Stockholm for a night out. Like, I don't want to do that. So I didn't go. But then when I saw the pictures and how much fun they had, I had a little bit of FOMO. And now I got this invite, and it's for in 2 weeks or a couple of weeks from now. And I was like, oh my God, I really want to go. Like that, that sounds like so much fun. A few of my friends are going. Like, it sounds like a really fun thing. I want to go. But then immediately my brain went, well, that's not going to happen, because I have never spent an evening away from Bear. And it's not looking like that's going to happen anytime soon. Nights are still very, very challenging. I can give you guys a little sleep update if you want. I don't know if I've shared on the podcast, but we have a little inside joke now where Martha needs to know how I'm sleeping. Anyway, I'll come back to that. So I just had this thought, like, I want to go, but it's not going to happen, because basically what happens at night is I put him to bed. It takes a very long time. No one else can put him to bed. And we have tried. And just the amount of agony and screaming and panic, he just won't have it. And I have been okay with that. Like, you know, he needs his mom. This is this short phase of his life where mom is everything. And it's okay, and it's beautiful, and I love having that bond and that connection with him. I don't have to force anything. He loves his dad. They're out right now. Just, they're so cute together. Like, they're just out for a walk, walking around the farm, talking about life. He reaches for his dad every morning. Like, Dennis comes in and takes him. Dennis can put him down for naps in the day, no problem. Like, everything's fine. But nighttime, it's a no-go. Just for whatever reason, it's not happening. And I decided I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to make this a thing. We're not going to, it's going to organically happen with time as he gets older, that he will allow Dennis to do these things too. And, you know, he'll become less and less mommy attached, which happens naturally anyway. So I don't have to push it. But anyway, and then I kind of had that in the back of my head, like, oh, but I would so like to go. Like, maybe I should kind of like try to make it happen. And, you know, but I didn't RSVP. And then yesterday, my friend Olivia, who's going, she called from Aruba, and she's like, hey, are you going to the gala? Are you going to the mama thing? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't RSVP. I felt nervous. I don't know if I can leave Bear. And she was like, hey, I'm going to go. Siri's going, our other really good friend. It's going to be a really fun night. Like, maybe this is the night where, like, your first night away. And it's early. It starts at 6 p.m. So technically, you know, it's not that bad. It would be worse if it was like 9 until midnight or something. But technically, if at 8 or 9 p.m. it's not going well for Dennis at home with Bear, like, I can just go home. Like, it's kind of feels like this is it. Okay, maybe I'm making this into a way bigger deal than what it is. Everyone listening who, like, has a really easy time leaving their baby, or you've been to dinners out alone since your baby was a few months old, like, I so applaud you. That's just not been my journey this time around. It's not been something that I've wanted to do, and it's not been something that's been easy to do, honestly. And every kid is so different. Leia, from 6 months old, she slept 12-hour nights, and we put her down at 7 o'clock every single night. So we knew we could have dinner reservations at 7:30, no problem, because we just put her down at 7, leave her with grandma or with a babysitter or whatever, and we could go enjoy that night, you know. Bear, it's not like that with Bear. we have not had a single date night, or even a date day, Dennis and I, since he was born. You know, it's just a different thing, different circumstance. And different personality, for sure. But anyway, so she called and she said, hey, let's go, let's do it. And I really thought about it. And I thought, you know what? This is that moment. Like, you need that moment where you just let go and you try and you do it. Not the end of the world. But it felt like a separation. It felt like making the decision to spend an evening away from him for the first time. He's almost 9 months old. This gala is happening on his 9-month birthday. It's on the 18th of March. And I really had that sort of insight, like, hey, 9 months in, even though it's 10 months, we all know it's 10 months. We all know we're pregnant for 10 months, right? First month is actually the second month. Anyway, and for me, I carry my babies a long time, so it's like more than that. But yeah, I was just had that realization, 9 months in, 9 months out. Like that's a really good moment. It really is. Like the same amount of time that I spent growing him and carrying him and being literally having him be a physical part of me, that's how much time we will now have spent on the outside. Physically being separated, but energetically, emotionally, in every way, we're one. It's like 9 months out. Like this is a sign that it's on his 9-month birthday. Okay. And I go online, I click the RSVP. Yes, I'm going. And I tell Olivia, I RSVP'd, let's do it. Okay, we'll find a way. Woo, you know. And then I go to the bathroom and I get my period. Isn't this like very telling? For me, that was just it took me all day to connect kind of that moment. But for me, it really was deciding that 9 months in, 9 months out, I'm going to have a night out on my own and leave him and separate from him for the first time ever. And immediately, no gap. I didn't like walk around the house or do something or fix something. I closed my computer, went to the bathroom, got my period, and I just stared at it. Hopefully this is not TMI, but literally I just stood there like, wait, you know, I haven't had a period in 18 months. That's a really long time. It's a very long time to not have a period. And it's one of those things where like, oh, this is familiar. You know, you've had a period every month of your life since I was 13, when I got my period for the first time. And I was like, I know it. It's a part of my day to day. But I just stared at this blood going, wait, what? No, what? No. When? How? What? And I got so sad. I just got so sad. And it really feels like the end of an era, really, like marked in blood, like the end of a season, the end of a season. It really is the end of a season. And yes, we are postpartum for the rest of our lives. If you've ever given birth, no matter if you gave birth 40 years ago or last week, you are postpartum. You're forever postpartum after having had a baby. So it's not that's some, this one thing that we do and then it's over and we go back to before. No, we're always going to be postpartum. Our bodies are irreversibly changed. Every time we are pregnant, even if you don't go to full term, even if you've had a miscarriage, even if you've had an abortion, however that journey has unfolded, every pregnancy we go through changes us. And it's so amazing, the studies that are coming out now about how our babies actually change our chemistry, our cells. We carry a part of our babies inside of us for the rest of our lives. And that feeling that we have as parents, as mothers, of our hearts living outside of our bodies, like that's actually physically true. There's a part of them inside of us for as long as we live. And this end of a season, now 9 months in, 9 months out, getting my moon again feels like the end of my postpartum time. Yeah, even though it's not. I know it's not. It's not. I'll be postpartum forever. And I'm still undergoing lots of changes and I'm still nursing Bear. It's not like, oh, he's not a baby anymore. He might be like a walking, toddling baby, but he's still a baby. Come on. He's 8.5 months old. But it felt like the end of a season, the closing of a chapter, the end of a cycle. And somehow it felt like separation. It felt somehow like I'm separating from him. And all of these thoughts, all these feelings, I just really gave myself space to share. And it was really beautiful that I have that relationship with my best friend, that she was like, hey, I don't get it. Can you explain? And then I got a moment to unpack that because I also hadn't fully integrated. What does it mean? Why am I sad? But I'm also content. I'm also feeling at peace, but I'm sad. And in a way, it feels like a separation. Like, oh, he's definitely not, you know, physical part of me anymore, although he is. And for the rest of the day, you know, I'm so glad it was such a beautiful day. I took it really easy. It's been, yeah, as I said, you know, 18 months since I had a period. So it's been a long time since I was in the flow of that, literally, pun intended. And getting a day to just sort of, okay, I'm entering this space now. And I want to honor this period. Oh my God, so many puns you're getting from me. Wow, I feel like my husband. If you've ever met my husband, he's the king of being really quick on his feet with puns and with sarcasm and with dad jokes. But really, I want to honor this period of this period, right? And not do the thing that I used to do where, oh, this is just like a part of my day today and plug myself up, tampon and go, or not tampon, that's never really been my thing, but moon cup and go. For a long time, I was really not very conscious around the shifts that I would undergo every time I would bleed. I have a really amazing podcast episode with Nicole Jardim, who is just this expert on women's health and our cycles. And we just had a great conversation a couple years ago. If you want to explore that, this topic just a little bit deeper on the same podcast. But I definitely did have those years where I was not as mindful around what actually happens in my body during the different stages of my cycle. And this time of pregnancy for me was a very slow, quiet, mindful, present time where I feel just hyper aware of everything going on inside of my own body and my emotional body and my energetic body. And this postpartum time too has been really very slow and very filled with rest and just very present. And now that I got my period back, I'm very committed to not go back to this thing where, oh, that's just like a day-to-day thing. Because it is mundane, it is. Every woman listening, we all know what that's like. But what I would love to do is have this time be infused with some more sacred, gentle energy, where I actually really honor this time and where I'm not inconvenienced, I guess that's a good word, by the symptoms. I don't even like the word symptoms, because symptoms apply something's wrong, right? Where I am inconvenienced by the shifts and the sensations that come from this week out of the month. And I know it's so different for each of us, of course. Some of us have really, really, really challenging periods where it's so painful and so many things just kind of abruptly causing a shift in our lives where it's near impossible to just, you know, go about your day to day, but in a negative, challenging way. And some of us have really easygoing, you know, not a big deal, can kind of forget about it, periods. And then there's everything in between, of course. So again, everything is a variation of normal in that there's nothing wrong with any of us. However, we might have things that come our way during this time of the month that we would like to soften, or that we would like to explore, or that we are curious about, or even, you know, having painful periods. Like, I really feel like there's so much to unpack in this area. And I really feel like the medical system has just failed women so profoundly in this whole area of health. We know that. We know that there's no studies done on women. We know that the medical system has not cared about women's issues. I'm saying that with like little air quotes. And that no money is put towards severe, super life, you know, debilitating things like endometriosis and PCOS and having really painful periods. And, you know, how many of us have ever gone to the doctor for something and been kind of brushed off? I mean, we know this the patriarchy is in full bloom when it comes to women's health. We know that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I even read yesterday, I had like a, oh, this was also funny because we had this conversation yesterday morning. I wonder if this connects too. But I just read, it was about inequality in healthcare and how just the level of pain that women experience when you insert an IUD, which is something that I had an IUD for 10 years, maybe 15 years. Wait, I have to count 10 years. Yeah, 10 years of my life. So you have to change them. I had a copper version. You change them out every 5 years. So I had two inserted and two removed. And the level of pain inserting an IUD, anyone listening, it is unbelievably painful. It's like the first time I had it inserted, I was really young. I was only 15, but I had a very, very serious boyfriend who I was with for 4.5 years. And Sweden, I mean, this for Americans listening, this is like very strange, I know, because it's so different in the States. But Sweden, we are very liberal and open when it comes to talking about sex overall, when it comes to reproductive rights, obviously. We have this thing called ungdomsmottagningen, which literally means the youth clinic. It's basically like a Planned Parenthood, but it's funded. It's state funded. Do you say that? It's free for everyone. Everyone can go. And it's, I think, for people from 12 to 23 or something. It's for youth. And it's basically for all things like sex ed and support. And you get your first period and you don't want to tell your parents, which, you know, a lot of us went through that. I hope the era of that is fucking over. But yeah, you go there, you go to the youth clinic and they give you whatever you need. You have questions about stuff, you go there. You're thinking about having sex for the first time, you go there. They'll give you condoms, whatever you need. Like, yeah, you're accidentally pregnant and you want to get an abortion, you go there and they help you. And it's all very, they are like seen as a very, very, very positive part of healthcare that everyone has a right to. There is no one is like trying to burn these clinics down. Okay, this is like, which I can like laugh at out of absurdity, but that's literally what's happening across the States, right? It's fucking insane. Abortions here have been legalized forever. I think Sweden was one of the first countries to legalize abortion. So it's very destigmatized. Everything is destigmatized. Getting on birth control is destigmatized. So when I was really young, I mean, we used to think it was so funny. Like, I think when I was like 13, 14, we would go to the youth clinic and there's like bowls of condoms there. And even though we weren't sexually active, we would like take a condom and open up the condom for the first time and blow it up like a balloon. Whoever did that when they were young. And then you would get all sticky. Oh my God, I just had a big memory. Wow. And you could basically, I mean, one of the biggest, I think, most beautiful parts of that is you can go and talk to someone. So it includes like if you have mental health issues or you're feeling depressed or you have trouble at home or, you know, there was someone there. Usually what I remember anyway was that it was like an older lady who you could talk to. And it became this, I don't know, it's so sexual education, people, it's like so fucking important. And if you don't know why it's important, you can watch the latest season of Love is Blind. Okay, I'm going to not go into that. But anyone who watches that show knows what I mean. But yes, so anyway, so when I had my first boyfriend then, you know, it's really common that you can just, yeah, grab condoms and go. And yeah, they teach you about how to stay safe and take care of yourself and all those things. And then I got my first very serious boyfriend and wanted to get on another kind of birth control, which also I think back to like, why couldn't we just be freaking content using condoms? Why did I have to go and completely change my whole natural chemistry of my biology? Why did I have to do that at 14? No, 15. Wait, when did I? Okay. Very, telling you guys everything right now. I lost my virginity at 14, which is normal in Sweden. It sounds crazy early to, depending on where you are in the world, Sweden, very normal. To a boyfriend who was my first boyfriend, who I loved so much. It was actually a positive. I know that's like weird how that's a true thing. It's actually a very positive experience. I was with him for a long time, at least long time from that. I don't know, a year and a half or something. I don't know. And then when I was almost 16, I met this boyfriend that I had for a very long time, where I was 15. And for some reason, I don't know why that was. Why couldn't we continue using condoms, which would have been the single best thing for everyone? But it was kind of this given that if you have a serious relationship and you're becoming sexually active and you're very sexually active, like 16, 17 years old, yeah, you get on birth control. That's just what it was. You're supposed to get on birth control. So I think I was 16 then, probably, when I was put on birth control for the first time. And I think I remember it as like, this was this very mature thing that you did. So it was something that we wanted when we were teenagers. If we took the pill, that meant like, ooh, you're like very mature and you're like definitely sexually active and you're in a serious relationship. Ooh. So I think it was like this thing that we just, you know, wanted. And I don't remember anyone explaining to me the potential side effects of getting on birth control at 16. Not a single conversation. This is only positive. And then you stop taking those pills once a month to get your period, and then you take the pills again. And I did that, immediately fell into a hole of depression, like immediate. It happened overnight. I swear, it was within the first days of being on the pill. I got so depressed, started crying, and then stopped crying for 9 months. I think I've told this story on the podcast before. I became just severely depressed. And no one kind of told me that, hey, maybe it's that birth control you just started. And it took me a long time until I went back to the clinic like, hey, I've been really sad. Like, I've had really dark thoughts. I'm crying myself to sleep every night. And they were like, oh, maybe you shouldn't be on the pill. It's like, okay, thanks. And then they suggested I get an IUD, which is supposed to be this like minimally invasive thing that it's hormone free, a copper version of an IUD. And I was like, okay. And this became a long story from just telling you this thing I read about inequality yesterday. But if you listen to this podcast, you know this happens a lot. So I go to get this thing inserted, the small, small copper IUD. And they told me that you can take two Advils, or like an Advil and an ibuprofen, 30 minutes before. And it hurts a little bit. I was like, okay, well, a little bit. And you just take an Advil for it, so it can't be that bad. It hurt so bad. I blacked out. It hurt so, I mean, also I was 16 years old. It hurt so bad, I blacked out. And I remember like I just lost all my breath. It was like I was punched in the stomach. It hurt so much. It was absolutely fucking awful. But it was very quick. And I remember I was like, you know, and blacked out completely, and then came to, and it was over. And then I remember the doctor like, yeah, but it's over now. It's just very brief. Yeah, it can hurt quite a bit for some people, but it's over very fast. So you're done now. You can leave. I'm like, okay. And then I remember after that, I got immediately this horrible period where I bled and bled and bled, and I had crazy cramps. And all of this, and for anyone who's had an IUD inserted knows, like, this is really normal. It doesn't hurt as bad for some people, but for most women, it's really, it's like brief, very intense, overwhelming, gut-punching kind of pain. And then painful afterwards. And then what I read yesterday was that for procedures that are targeted toward men, where they experience pain levels that are at 15% of that pain that many women experience when you insert an IUD, they get a local anesthetic. For procedures that involve men, when it hurts a little bit of how much it hurts to insert an IUD, they immediately, they don't want men to feel that kind of pain. That's not cool. But if it's a woman, or if it's a girl, or, you know, 16-year-old girl, that's okay. And how just routinely, like, women's pain is just seen as, like, it's fine. Shrug your shoulders. We don't need to waste resources on that. We don't even need to really study it, right? Like, women who live with endometriosis, which is one of the most painful things you can possibly ever imagine. Not even one of the most painful things, but one of the most really, truly life debilitating things where for 1 or 2 weeks or more out of the month, you don't function because of the severity of the pain. But it's just your period, right? So you can just like take an Advil and go home. Have you tried using a hot water bottle? I mean, that shit is crazy. And I have many friends who have and have had endometriosis who required severe surgery. I mean, crazy. And how gaslit and ignored they were by doctors their entire lives. And I ended up talking about this and this track just from the inequality that exists in healthcare, which is so absurd and so bizarre. And I really think if we had some more focus around what actually is a healthy period, is it okay to walk around with debilitating pain? I don't think so. I don't think that should be normalized. I don't think that should be shrugged off or brushed off. Is it all right to fall down a pit of insane depression every single month at a certain time? That's really hard to climb out of. I don't think that should be shrugged off or ignored. And so many of us have spent such a big part of our lives dealing with these things and also completely ignoring or completely never having been introduced to the fact that there is something sacred about these cycles that come and go. The fact that we are cyclical beings in this way, it comes with this tremendous opportunity for healing and vulnerability and this capacity to really sit with beauty, this connection to nature. It's there is something there. And I know that can be very triggering to even consider if you're one of those people who deal with debilitating pain and things that come every time you're on your period. But for me, all of these things connect. The fact that for most of my life, I was really the opposite of mindful around my period. I thought it was just annoying. Luckily, I never really had pain or issues. So that's probably why I could just kind of try to ignore it and use a moon cup. I've always loved my moon cup. And just kind of go about my day, no big deal. Whereas now, I got my period now for the first time in 18 months, and I'm like, okay, well, hey, today's a holy day. Today is truly a holy day. Like, look at this moment here. Look at this moment here, how divinely this unfolded. And this is big, this is momentous. It's not just something where I take my moon cup or a tampon or whatever you would use and plug myself up so I can ignore it or so I can pretend like it's not happening, which in a way is what we do when we want to continue living life exactly the same in every stage of our cycle. And the more I learn, the more I feel convinced that we're just not supposed to live that way. We're not supposed to do that. We are supposed to be very, very in tune with everything that unfolds in these different stages of the month. Because we're going to have different needs in different parts of our cycles. We're going to have different wants. We're going to have different things that help ground us, different things that bring us joy, different things that naturally want to come out of us. We're going to feel creative here, and we're going to have tons of energy here, and we're going to have a huge need for rest over here. And instead of looking at this as this annoying thing that we have to deal with, what if it's the massive opportunity? What if it truly is a massive opportunity to slow everything down, to have your whole life feel sacred, to have your body feel sacred, to have all these functions of the body that are not symptoms, but sensations, to have them all mean something, to have that be our body really speaking to us. And that is the reason I, as much as I can, and of course, this is day two of my first period in 18 months. So I can't talk about this as a person who consistently has their period because it's been a while. But that is why I am sitting here free bleeding right now.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Free bleeding, it's one of those things. It's really funny to me because before I was pregnant, my last cycles, really truly, my last moons that I had before pregnancy, I was free bleeding and kind of playing around with how much I could free bleed in my day to day. There was all of a sudden this aversion to inserting anything into my vagina. I just all of a sudden felt like that moon cup isn't feeling good. That moon cup feels like suction somehow. I don't know if anyone else has had that feeling. It feels like it's pulling things down somehow. It feels like I'm plugging myself up in a way. And all of a sudden I just started feeling like I don't want that. There's a reason why we bleed. There's a reason why that blood is meant to come out of us. And there's a reason why that happens. It doesn't happen in a continuous stream all throughout the day. I mean, we all know that, but it's really hard to feel that if we have a moon cup or a tampon in. If you use a pad, you probably are more familiar with that sensation of the uterine lining letting go. And then, oh, here comes like a wave of blood being released. We can feel that, but we don't have to feel it when we're using a moon cup. We don't have to feel it when we're using a tampon. Or it's very hard to feel. All we get to is we get to that feeling of, okay, it's time to change it. And then we change it, right? But such as the last moons that I had, I was really, yeah, just learning more about free bleeding, learning more, just trusting that intuition of, I want to actually bleed. I want to feel the sensation of bleeding. I want to be really present with that blood. I want to be present with my body. After so much of my life, especially the first half of my time, you know, as a semi-adult, I guess, just trying to ignore it, feeling ashamed of it, feeling like, you know, everybody has hidden a tampon in the back of their hand and like snuck it to a friend, or it's not something we talk about. I think I did share the story of my first period here a couple. I did. If you listen to any of the episodes when I was in the Maldives, because I had my first period when I was in the Maldives with my dad when I was 14. Maybe I was 13. Yeah, 13, 14. And I made him buy me like 25 packs of pads because I thought for the rest of my life, I'm just going to bleed now. Oh my God. That is a funny story you can revisit from an older podcast. But aside from that, you know, I've had that kind of disconnect. And I think so many of us have, because no one ever taught us about this stuff, right? No one ever really did. And I'm so committed to changing that and in how I'm talking to my daughter. By the way, she came home from school. I was sitting on the porch. Oh, I could cry. And I told her, I mean, she's turning 7 now. I told her, hey, I got my period back again. Do you remember what a period is? Because 18 months when you're 7 years old, it's a long time. We haven't talked about periods in a long time. She goes, period? You mean when you bleed from your vagina, but it doesn't hurt? I'm like, yes, exactly that. And it doesn't happen. Remember, it doesn't happen when you're pregnant, and it doesn't happen after pregnancy and when you're breastfeeding, but eventually it comes back. And today mine came back. And then she just sat there for a long time. She was like, huh, can you imagine if boys had periods and they went to go pee and then they peed out of their penis and blood came out? I was like, yeah, that would be fun. She's like, oh, haha, that would be so funny. And then I went inside, made some tea and came out. We just sat there drinking our tea and just kind of listening to the birds, like quiet. And I could see she was like immersed in thought. And then all of a sudden she goes, hey, mama, congratulations on getting your period again. How are you feeling? I was like, thank you. And she just reminded me, congratulations on getting your period again. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, it is congratulations. Like, yes, it is something to celebrate. Thank you. You know? But so, how sweet is that? I just, now I'm crying. I mean, I love her so much. Jesus Christ. I want her to be that familiar with the female biology And by letting her have that intimacy with me and me sharing those things with her and showing her how things work and not shying away from that, hopefully, I think she will have a closer relationship with that function of her own body when that time comes, which honestly isn't crazy far away. Oh, that's so, I mean, it's far away, obviously, but it's still, yeah, she's growing so fast. But so choosing to free bleed, I know, yeah, you're probably, for anyone who doesn't do this, is wondering what the hell and how on earth does that work? So the idea behind free bleeding is not, even though it might sound that way, to just not give a shit and destroy all of your clothes and make a mess of your house. which is what it might sound like I get that. The idea behind free bleeding is this truth of the fact that when you're bleeding, when it's that time of the month, you are not continuously just bleeding. It's not this continuous stream, like a little river flowing between your legs, right? But the uterine lining releases in intervals, and there's an ebb and a flow to our flow. And it's something that we can absolutely feel happening. Like while I've been recording this podcast, I have had, I don't know, a couple of moments of like, oh, and here it's happening. And the idea behind free bleeding is that you don't use tampons, you don't use a moon cup, you don't use pads when possible. And some women live the kind of lifestyle where, yeah, that's possible for the whole moon and totally doable. And that's, you know, I think people who work a lot from home or who live a life very connected and in tune with nature, challenging to free bleed when you are, you know, working an office job or living in the city. It's different circumstances, right? But it's also that when we have this time of the month, we are supposed to be resting. We're not supposed to be, you know, lifting weights at the gym or doing the maximum of maximum. It's the time of the month where if we can anticipate it, which we can if we get really in tune, where we don't schedule ourselves so busy, where we try to invite more space into our calendar, where we move our bodies gentler, where we engage with people who are more aligned with this peaceful, grounding energy, where we tune inward, where we listen, where we soften. It's not this big external, you know, big fat energy summertime vibe of ovulation, right? So if we are home more, or me, like I'm living this lifestyle overall where I am mostly home. So what I do is I wear a skirt. I have a red skirt. And often, I mean, traditionally, you would wear like a brown or a dark, like thick fabric colored skirt that you wear just to free bleed. But I have this red skirt that I use for pregnancy that I really love that I wear. And then that's it. You don't wear underwear. You don't wear pads. You go about your business as you do. And then as you feel that it's time to release, you go to the bathroom. And yeah, that doesn't happen every single time, but ooh, it's happening. And then, you know, you catch it in the bathroom. But most of the times, like as I'm moving around, because I'm very present with it. That's so interesting. When I'm not using a pad, when I'm not using a moon cup, I am completely present with my womb at all times. It's so wild. So I'll be in the kitchen making tea or walking with Bear. I mean, obviously, I've only had Bear on my hip for this for 2 days now. But then I feel it immediately. Oh, okay. And I go to the bathroom and I sit down as if I'm peeing and I wipe myself. And usually most of the blood releases then. And then in between, like I might have like a little trickle or a little something. And I'm just very, very, very present with what's happening. And if I'm sitting down like I'm doing now, I just put towels down for nighttime. Yeah, of course. So some women, if you have a really heavy, big flow, you might want to use pads for the night. I don't have to because my flow is not that wild and heavy. So you would put just lots of towels down so that you don't destroy your sheets or destroy your mattress, because that's not what we want to do. And then as you wake up in the morning, usually that's when you have that first big release. You go immediately to the bathroom. And then just throughout the day, you're just kind of tending to yourself throughout the day, if that makes sense. I don't like the word of like, you're just cleaning yourself up all day. Like if there's something that has to be cleaned up, you're just tending to yourself. You're taking care of yourself throughout the day. And if I were to, like tomorrow, we have an appointment to go somewhere. Yeah, I would use a pad. I'm not going to go put my jeans on and go free bleeding in the city. Like, that's not, I mean, some people do. And no, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to get to the point where this is something that becomes uncomfortable. That's not the point of free bleeding. But say you are at home, literally, say this is a weekend and you're on your moon and you're on the couch for most of the day. What would it feel like to put some towels down on that couch and maybe wear something that is okay, that can get stained, that's absolutely fine, where we don't worry so much about that? And you just skip the pad, or you just skip the tampon, or you skip the moon cup, and you just spend that day staying really present with your womb. And I think, now I haven't been doing this for so long, but I can really imagine that if this is how you take care of yourself during your period, that you become just very, very present with your bleed. And I will imagine that it gets less and less messy too. And you can also get those kind of washable pads. You can make your own. I saw there's tons of like DIY things. You can make them with like old clothing. But you can also buy those like washable ones, just like you would use a cloth diaper with a baby, like kind of same idea. You can use a cloth pad that you just throw in the wash at the end of the day to catch any overflow or any spotting. But you use that more as like a fail-safe, and you try to stay really present and just be in the bathroom when you have those moments of release, basically. And yeah, so for me, now of course it's really cold outside, but I want to just use pads, and preferably reusable pads that I can throw in the wash. How nice to not have any plastic, to not have any, because we know what's in these pads, and especially what's in the tampons, and even the moon cup, which for me just isn't feeling good anymore. Ugh, just to be rid of that. The money saver, okay, the resource saver, so much better for the environment. And I think also so much better for our yoni to just be, to just breathe, to just be free, to not have, especially this part of like being plugged up to kind of collect the blood up there. The more and more I think about that, the more I feel like there's something that isn't, it's not, it's convenient. Yes, it's awesome. And of course, I mean, I have to say, obviously, these are two very separate conversations that connect, but having access to menstrual hygiene products is a privilege. And there is women across the world who don't have access to it. And that is just absolutely appalling. So I'm talking about doing this in a very conscious way, not to take for granted that we have these things, and, you know, really comes from a spiritual, emotional place and a privileged place to get to choose to free bleed, just the same way we get to choose to anchor into these practices to elevate our spiritual, emotional, mental, physical health is a privilege. So just honoring that and taking a moment to honor the women across the world who would love to have access to all these things that we can choose to opt out of. But yeah, the more time I spend with it, the more I feel like there is something very important about letting the blood flow. And when you're using a moon cup or you're using a tampon, it's not flowing. It's pooling and it's staying inside of you. And I don't know. It's just where I am. I'm not a tampon or a moon cup hater. It's just where I am. I'm just having this intuitive feeling of it needs to flow. And it feels really good. I don't know. There's something about like just hanging out with Dennis and talking about something. And then it's like I feel my womb. My womb is like, hey, we're doing this now. Right. Hi. Hey. Hey, womb. Wow. Okay. We're doing this now. Yeah, I'm here. I'm totally here. I'm not checked out. I'm not plugging you up. I'm not using any plastic or synthetic materials to kind of pretend like this is not ongoing, but like, hey, I'm really honoring this beautiful, sacred time in my cycle, because it really can be. And I don't know. I really feel like this is has the potential of being a really beautiful, magical time. And I can't wait to be out in nature, just having, I don't know, maybe this is too hippie for some of you, but to be out in the spring and in the summertime, just wearing boots and a skirt and no underwear and just getting to free bleed in nature. Oh, yeah, that's all I want. And give my blood back to the earth. This reminds me so of my best friend from, yeah, who passed away, Andrea. I talk about her a lot. I wrote a book about her. She passed away when she was 24. I was 25. She always did. So she used a moon cup that back then I did too. And when she was on her moon, she would gift her blood back to the earth. And it was part of this ceremony that she did every single time that she bled. And I remember back then, because I was not in that place then. I was in the moon cup place. I was doing a lot of, you know, I was living a natural life in a lot of ways, but I did not feel intimate with my own blood. And she always did. And I don't know. I remember feeling so intrigued, like, hey, but what is it? Like, how do you feel when you do that? Like, what does it actually do? But I still felt like, that's not for me. You know, that's not for me. And I think I did that a few times, like when I was in Costa Rica, just out of convenience, but also like, okay, like here you go, Earth, here's my blood, and then felt a little silly about it. But now, I think probably because I am living a life where I'm just naturally more connected to the Earth now. I'm naturally more connected with nature. I feel my own webbing just woven into nature somehow. So bleeding on the earth as I garden or as I walk outside with my babies, like that feels very natural, not at all silly, and just overall so beautiful. So I think however you live, whatever kind of lifestyle you have, even if you are living that, you know, big city, dressing up, busy with meetings, doing crazy things all day, like it feels very far away to be able to free bleed, you can still gift yourself those windows of time to really be free and to free bleed in those moments where you have the ability, or to carve out that ability for yourself. So those moments, like when you are at home, those moments when you are lying around on the couch, those moments when you are just immersed in something gentle and soft, or you're reading or whatever you're doing, watching a movie, or just having a day spent at home or a day spent in the garden, to explore a little bit with that if this intrigues you. And see how you feel. And I think the more we practice, the more it's going to feel like this easy thing. And the more we're going to realize just how much time we have and how much time and how many products we have bought throughout our lives to get to forget that this is happening. When it's this monumentous thing that is this portal inward that I think has massive opportunity for just magic and healing. And I think in this time, there is something so special that we miss if we, you know, look away and try to stay busy and do everything we do when we're not on our periods and just treat it as an inconvenience, right? So maybe the question to ask is, the next time I'm on my moon, how can I celebrate myself? How can I honor this time? How can I become more present with my body right now instead of less? I'll continue to update you on my own free bleeding journey here on the farm. And yeah, thank you for giving me the space to tell you this story. I no longer feel as sad that my moon has returned. Just sharing this with you, I feel very in touch with my feminine side. And I feel very in tune with my body and very blessed to be here. So thank you. I'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.